All right, peace, family. This is going to be a very impromptu in the lab episode. I wanted to record this and make sure I get it out ASAP because it's really on my mind. And so it's Tuesday, April the 30th. And, you know, obviously everybody know Kendrick released his diss record against Drake, Euphoria. And I will talk about that a bit, but I want to talk about this concept of, I'm calling it being people, we are narrative minded. And so the word narrative means a spoken or written account of connected events, a story. It also means a representation of a particular situation or process in such a way as to reflect or conform to an overarching set of aims or values. This is something that I think is critically important when we're, especially when we're talking about hip hop, and also goes into battle rap. You know, and so I want to just say that it's funny, but you know, a good brother of mine in the nation, I'm not going to say his name, you know, but you know, we know each other very well. He's prominent in the hip hop world and he's definitely prominent in the battle rap world. And, you know, we've had many, many long conversations, debates about hip hop, different elements of hip hop, black people and whatnot. And one of the things, you know, my brother says is, you know, I'm paraphrasing him, but he's like, the mindset of a practitioner or the opinion of a practitioner, one who is participating in the activity that we're discussing, their opinion is on a certain level superior than those who are purely spectators. And on really on a lot of levels or on a significant level, I agree with that. But I counterbalance that by, you know, as a chef, I don't personally know anybody that has gone, you know, as far into the culinary arts as I have. But people still give me their opinion. People still taste the dish that I make and say, you know, this is good, this is bad, or I think I wish I had this, wish I had that. And, you know, I generally accept it. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So I'm just looking at the concept of practitioner versus spectator. But in between that is what I'm considering. What I'm considering is as a, I consider myself a connoisseur. I consider myself a very serious participant in hip hop culture. And so when I'm listening to music or a battle or how, whatever type of hip hop content we're talking about, I have a refined ear and palate and understanding in hip hop. And I'm pretty sure there are many people out there like this, you know? So I don't subscribe specifically to someone being in the field's opinion is necessarily superior, but I do understand that to a degree. But now when you're dealing with somebody like myself, who really, I am a connoisseur of this, like I kind of say colloquially, like I really do this. When it comes to being a fan, I really do this when it comes to hip hop. You understand what I'm saying? So when we're talking about this concept of being narrative-minded, it's critical because you have to be able to understand how we should be listening to something and how we shouldn't be listening to something. Once again, the definition is a representation of a particular situation or process in such a way as to reflect or conform to an overarching set of aims or values. So for an example, I hear a lot of battle rappers talking about, you know, Drake's up, Drake's this was better, et cetera, et cetera. And then now me putting my mind into the mind's eye of a battler, battle rap today, unfortunately, I'm not going to talk too long about this, but battle rap has really digressed tragically to really being about status. And, you know, what they call clout or aura. That's what battle rap, sadly, has really become more about. So when you're listening to Drake's song, I believe the name is Push Ups, you have somebody on the caliber of Drake talking to somebody like the caliber of Kendrick in a way we've never heard somebody talk to Kendrick or somebody of that caliber in that way. how you big stepping when you got a size 7 men's on, things of that nature. Which I thought was hilarious. That weighs heavier, in my opinion, to a battler whose more his mindset is more focused on status, clout, and narrative. Narrative is, oh man, you got Drake, who is at his level, talking to Kendrick at his level, like he a little boy. That's how the narrative works. And that gives points to somebody where they don't necessarily deserve. And so what I'm saying this about Drake, and I'm going to digress very quickly. It's not going to be too long of an episode. What I don't understand from a hip hop cultural perspective, how Drake is respected in our culture of hip hop. Now, if you're a person of that likes awards, you know, Grammys, Billboard Top 100s, you know, those accolades like that, which have their own place in the perspective. They have their own place. But at, in the grand scheme or at the root of hip hop, bro, we don't really care about awards. I mean, you look at people like Common, Talib Kweli, Styles, Jadakiss, Fabulous, Cannabis, Sky Zoo. You can, I mean, I probably could just go a couple more. Even Beans, Freeway, Young Guns. Who else? I mean, yeah, Ransom. Now, Freddie Gibbs. You can get to go to Benny the Butcher, and they probably getting some acclaim now. But there are so many artists in the hip-hop. Sahi the Prince, Lupe Fiasco. Even though I think Lupe's had some good commercial success. Even somebody like Rick Ross. These people are at the top of the game as far as the craft, but they don't have things like Grammy, Billboards, and all those kind of things like that. Some, you know, some might have some of that success, but not overall, especially not to a level like a Drake or a Jay-Z, people like that. So at the end of the day, hip-hop culture is not even about awards and all those kind of things like that. It's really about the craft. And what we've now heard from Meek, we've heard from Joe Budden, Meek Mill, Joe Budden, Kendrick now, Pusha T, everybody that Drake gets involved in a situation with, the same thing is coming up. How do we respect? It's the difference between like and respect. Now, if you're a person that grew up listening to Drake, liking Drake, this is something that I can respect and understand. Music, you know, the soundtrack of our life, these kind of things, you're going to school, you're going to work, you're doing whatever you're doing in your life, and you like these songs. But as we grow, you know, and evolve and understand what goes into this thing of hip hop, then there's the line of respect. Drake makes a lot of great sounding songs, but if you're just the poster boy for it, I can't respect it. People laugh at me when I say that Drake is like McDonald's. McDonald's tastes great. It's for everybody. You could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be, you know, somebody work at Target, you know. And everybody like Drake. Make really good sounding songs. But the substance behind the songs are not there. So I'm just confused knowing all of what we come to understand about Drake, how we still respect him on the hip hop level, not the man or human level. I'm saying on the hip hop level, the professional level. There's a lot of people out there that I like that I don't like the professional version. But the man or human being, I rock with him. Like Drake, I'm pretty sure he's a great guy. That's my brother. But professionally, I cannot respect you in reference to the craft. I don't understand how Drake is respected as far as that. So when we're talking about being narrative minded, that is the narrative. We have Drake on his level talking to Kendrick at his level in a way that we've never heard Kendrick be talked to before. Even though, I mean, come on, Drake says in the song, the way you're doing splits, your pants might rip. Really? Come on. We can't let stuff like that slide. We should not let stuff like that slide. But because we love Drake, because the narrative, we let those kinds of things go. That is a problem. We have to get that in order. We should. It is intelligent that we get that in order because it ruins our culture. And it really affects the way that we're able to think. We're not freely thinking. We're not critically thinking of our in our own right to think for ourselves if we like or don't like something. I remember hearing Murder Mook say, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but Mook was saying how he's a battle rapper. You know, he's a rapper in general, but he's known for battle rap. He said, you don't want to be that one person in the crowd not reacting to something that you think is fire. And because, you know, you and your friends or the audience or everybody else in the crowd is not reacting the way that you react, you wouldn't react the natural way that you will react. But if everybody in the crowd is going crazy and everybody's jumping up and down, going wild, you want to do it because you want to be a part of the crowd. It's very odd. But I see that with this Kendrick Lamar, the song Euphoria, because before I get into what I think about, I'm not going to get into what I think about the song because I'm still really like listening to it. But the things that Kendrick is doing in the song go way over people's heads, like way over. Now, that could be for a multitude of reasons. It could be a big Drake fan, whatever the case may be. We don't have to go all the way down, you know, that lane. But what I'm saying is, if we're being narrative minded, the things, the intricacies and the details of what is going on in front of us, we're going to miss. There's a brother on TikTok. His name is Keith Lee. He has a whole lot of subscribers. He probably got 20 million followers on TikTok at this point in time, you know, and he's a very well-known food reviewer. I believe his brother's been on TV. I mean, he's done, what do you call those? Let's just call them partnerships with Chipotle, Wingstop, all kind of places, you know. Very generous brother. He's known to go out and, you know, tip people thousands of dollars and whatnot. Great brother. But one of the things that I understand is, or what I think about is, brother Keith Lee, he speaks for the, and I think this is what makes him so popular. He has a very down-to-earth perspective when it comes to food. Salty, sweet, bitter, sour, crunchy, soggy, you know, very, you know, more simplistic understanding of food. And I think that resonates with the average person watching, you know, our brother on TikTok or wherever they watch him at. I'm pretty sure he's beyond TikTok at this point. But the thing about that is you have to be aware of certain elements of, in this context, food, or another context, we're talking about music. You have to have a certain understanding of the construction, plate design, ingredient quality, seasonality, all these different kinds of things to even perceive what you're tasting. This is what we're talking about again, McDonald's. You go get a Big Mac or you go get a whatever, chicken nuggets, whatever, crunchy, salty, you know, whatever, barbecue sauce, sweet and sour, sweet and sour sauce. These things, they check the boxes in a very basic way. And this is why it resonates. I'm pretty sure McDonald's serves billions of people annually. But you have to have a more refined palate, refined understanding to even be able to perceive what is even going on the dish, in the dish, or on the song. And if you're shackled, if you and I are shackled by narrative, storyline, what are other people going to think about if I say this? What does this look like on the surface level? You and I will never be able to appreciate what somebody is presenting. Kendrick did not have to get into a, oh, I'm going in bag. This whole, I don't even know what you call it, because he kind of goes through his iterations, you know, kind of has nicknames for him, like Kung Fu Kenny, things like that. But from Section 80 Kendrick to Damn Kendrick, you can see a whole lot of progression. And then now, even after Damn, the stuff that he's done with Baby Keem. You hear he's just rapping very different. And I'm listening to this song and I'm like, how is he able to be so super creative and stay in the moment? It's like he's not altering himself to fit in the moment. He's making the moment fit himself. Like Drake, you hear on push-ups in the beginning, he like sighs. He's like, okay, I gotta do what I gotta do. And then like you hear the beat, typical, you know, diss record type of beat. And he's going in, you know. I could never be somebody's number one fan, your first number one, I had to put it in your hand. Going that in a very, you know, typical type of way. I'm really amazed at how Kendrick's able to do what he does and remain true to himself and new and creative. But if you just, like Gilly said, you know, this record was corn on the cob, I'm like, I already understand. Because in our mind, we're already looking for a certain type of sound. We're listening for a certain type of sound. Like when Kendrick says, a cease and desist on like that record, oh, what, you ain't like that record? Even his pronunciation or enunciation of that, we're talking about, this is nuanced creativity. It's hard to even understand me. I'm talking about me now. How he even goes here creatively. How does he think about that? I don't even know how to categorize this style of rap that Kendrick is presenting. We have to be able to open up our mind and receive what the person is presenting. And it also comes into play, as I said, about having a refined mindset, palate, ear, knowledge of what I'm really trying to interpret. It's very important to our culture. We have to free ourselves from being able for thinking in the way of a storyline. You go back and you listen to Ether or Checkmate or Sorry Miss Jackson by Jadakiss and Styles. These things stand alone in history. You don't gotta be in that year or time to still appreciate even a Blueprint 2 by Jay-Z. You don't gotta be in that time to appreciate what this man is saying. Just because he's wearing a kufi don't mean that he right. Just because you don't understand him don't mean that he nice. This stuff is, yo, it just, it's Jay-Z. It fits in the time. But it's him. This thing is very significant. I want to close with this. When we're having this GOAT conversation. Like I said, Fabulous, Jada, Styles, even Rick Ross, there are many others, LL Cool J, many others, but Fabulous really comes to my mind when I think about this, Fabulous and Jadakiss, because they are two elite, Cassidy's another one, three elite lyricists, craftsmen in hip hop, and no one, unless you're from Brooklyn or you're from Yonkers or you're from Philly, you're going to put Fab, Jada, or Cassidy as your GOAT. But these dudes have been elite for decades, plural. I think it's intelligent to re-look at what and how we consider a GOAT. Because our thing is not about awards. It's about the craft. It's about greatness. And as I said before, greatness is not about making excuses. Drake taking people's songs, making an excuse. We're making room for him and in this prestigious table because we like him. That's not cool. So I'm going to leave it right there so it's not a super long episode. Thank you for anybody that's made this long. I appreciate all the love and support. I'm going to, you know, keep doing what I do. I just really had to get this out because we got to wake up the mind. Thank you for listening. Tech Building Podcast. When the devil tries to keep you down, you always show up with the strategy. Peace.